WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Monica Ricks in New York. Federal transportation officials met with railroad union leaders today amid reports of rail workers getting sick at a toxic train derailment site in Ohio. CBS's Stephen Portnoy has details.
An official of one rail union says several workers repairing the tracks in East Palestine have reported the same symptoms, migraine headaches and nausea. The union chief told CBS News that some have sought treatment. The workers in question were removing pieces of the track damaged by the derailment and laying down temporary track panels to allow train service to get back up and running.
Earlier today, senators also introduced a new proposal to increase rail safety and prevent future disasters. Federal authorities arrested a man in Pennsylvania today after he tried smuggling an explosive in a checked bag on a flight bound for Florida. Agents found the device wrapped in wax paper and clear plastic. It was hidden in the bag's lining. The man convicted of killing Robert Kennedy will stay in prison.
The California Parole Board denied Sirhan Sirhan's request to be released, saying the 78-year-old still lacks the insight into what caused him to carry out the crime. Sirhan has publicly said he feels remorse every day. This was his 16th parole hearing.
That's CBS's Steve Futterman reporting. Closing arguments will continue tomorrow after a dramatic day in Alec Murdoch's double murder trial in South Carolina. CBS's Nikki Batiste has the latest.
Prosecutors told jurors Murdoch, who was stealing from his clients and firm, killed Maggie and Paul to distract from the financial pressure he was under.
There is only one person who had the motive, who had the means, who had the opportunity to commit these crimes.
But legal experts say prosecutors have one big problem with their case.
There's no physical evidence tying Murdoch to these murders.
In Washington, a House panel took on the nation's fentanyl crisis.
We have chemical substances all over our streets. These are not overdoses. This is not a red or a blue issue. It's a red, white, and blue issue. Every American should care.
That's retired agent, DEA agent, rather, Derek Maltz. They say the fentanyl crisis kills more than 100,000 people every year. People in California were not prepared for the record amount of snow that's fallen there over the last week. Here's CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
Every time you take a step, my foot goes down about 4 feet.
Bruce Martz and his wife haven't been able to leave their vacation home in Lake Arrowhead for 6 days now.
This is the real deal, and there's a lot of people in need up here. It's just a matter of who runs out of food first.
Up to 15 feet of snow shut down Yosemite National Park. Crews there are still working to restore critical services. This is CBS News. Some new.
My ride smells just right, just right, just right, just right.
Y'all gotta try that for Breeze Car.
Just right, just right, just right, just right. Yeah. La 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 la.
Yeah.
With up to 40 days of consistent scent, all over Breeze Car clips right on your vent.
Yeah.
You know my car's my happy place. Keep that smile on my face. When it smells just right, just right, just right.
Yeah.
Breathe happy for Breeze.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies tonight with a chance for mixed precipitation. Lows dip down to about 20. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Highs level off around 34. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 20. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, this portion's brought to you by Hauling for Wolves. Hauling for Wolves. Protecting wolves for future generations. Okay, Dr. Stately. Hey, welcome to Native Roots Radio. And we're with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic. Boy, I'm just getting... And thank you for stepping in early and also helping me with that interview. So... what I would like to do, Dr. Stately, is just to ask you what you'd like to talk about in this last segment.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that last issue is a really important one. We don't often think very often about how critical environmental degradation is within the context of health, right? How much impact it has on our physical health, our emotional, mental well-being, spiritual well-being, those kinds of things. It's a very big issue for sure. I think this is always a challenge. You know, there isn't anybody that really wants to have a railroad running through their backyard, right? Our country, our people, our society as Americans, we all suffer from, serious disorder called not in my backyard kind of syndrome, where, you know, we don't want anything really that's going to impact the community or the planet in any way, shape or form running through our particular backyard. And I think one of the things that I always think about within that context is that's probably true of everybody, right? But I think one of the things that we can all pretty much be certain of is that the majority of people that suffer the deleterious outcomes in those kinds of conversations are always with disenfranchised communities and disempowered communities, the ones that don't have a tremendous amount of wealth, right? The ones that don't have a lot of political clout, the ones that aren't, the executive officers of, stockholders of large billion-dollar corporations that that can swing their might and to their benefit, and usually to the not so great benefit of disenfranchised communities like tribal communities. That's been a fight that's been going on for decades. One of the things I would hope that people would be willing to listen to is that that merger isn't particularly beneficial or helpful to anyone really living in Minnesota. the Mississippi runs through the entire state, right? Yeah. And supports so much of its entire state infrastructure, all of the, you know, all the tributaries that are linked to the Mississippi River would be threatened, and other sources of groundwater. So I think those are like important things for everyone to think about, you know, not just the indigenous people of the state, mm-hmm. but also the entire populace. But, you know, these fights have been going on forever, right?
Yeah, water is life, and I'll tell you, I walk by the Mississippi every day, Dr. Stately, and the river is low, and we've been in the second year of our drought, so it's so precarious when it comes to water. And, you know, you read reports that California wants to divert water from the Mississippi, and, you know, how much is that going to cost with pipelines and all, you know, it's mm-hmm. just it's crazy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Like, they already dried up the Colorado River. Now they want to dry up the Mississippi.
Which
is... And don't get me wrong. I lived in California for like 20 years. I really love, there's a lot I love about California. But, you know, they have a big, huge ocean right next to them. They can, like, start, you know, desalinating water from there. I mean, that's what they should be investing in.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean,
or maybe not have huge lawns and lots of it, and not everybody needs to have a pool in their backyard. You know, I grew up for like 40 years of my life without a pool. I was I did just fine.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I agree. It's crazy, and I think just amplifying in these discussions. With people, you know, about what's happening in Indian country, because what's going to happen in Indian country is going to happen to you. And I think that's what you alluded to when it comes to everybody needs to keep their eyes on the prize. I mean, just what, 2 years ago, they put water on the stock market. I mean, mm-hmm. that's kind of mm-hmm. flag right there.
Yeah. You know what I always tell people? Like, I have, I've been in some of these conversations. In fact, I just had this conversation yesterday. I'm sure you remember, like, a couple of months ago, or maybe it was about a little over a month ago, we had some people on who were talking about the Friends of Lake Hiawatha thing issue.
Right.
And why it's important to sort of, like, preserve Lake Hiawatha and even rewild it, because, you know, it's such a precious asset to not just the tribal people or the native people that live in South Minneapolis, but the entire community. And whenever I have the chance, I tell people, like, you know, if native people are speaking up and we're saying, like, this environmental issue needs to be addressed because it's going to harm native people in this way, and these things, we're usually sounding the alarms and the voice of reason on critical things that are going to impact not just us, but people all over the world, right? So native people are who are usually the ones stepping into these spaces and places, talking about it. And whenever people ask me, like, well, why should we be concerned about that? I say, well, you know what? If indigenous people are bringing an issue to the attention of, you know, not just our community, but our state, our region, our nation, it's usually something that's going to impact the entire planet at some point in time, or the rest of at least the rest of the United States. You probably should pay attention. What benefits us is going to benefit most people.
Well, Bob Blake always talks about we're the last, you know, the front lines of saving our mm-hmm. environment. And that yep. includes water and everything. We are here for that reason. And that's part of us being native and being here for 10,000 years.
Right. And I think one of the things that I'm always trying to impress upon people is that, you know, our health and our well-being, physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, of course, as well, our health is tied to the health of the planet, right? if we don't take good care of the earth, there will be nothing to take care of us, really, when we need it the most, right? When we start to pollute our water, pollute our air, pollute the land, you know, we're going to see, you know, all kinds of critical things happen that are going to threaten our own physical and emotional and mental well-being. We see that every day. When we start to sort of like pollute the things around us and not take care of the earth and the air, that has real world implications for us as human beings, right? And we got to think about those things.
Yeah, I really do. And, you know, and that all goes, I think what I talked about a little bit earlier, and I think when you jumped in, Dr. Stately, we were talking about is, oh, like, your future depends on it. And, you know, you have young ones and my, yeah. You know, and we need to preserve for the next seven generations. And when we talk about the next seven generations, we are really talking about the next seven generations. And that's.
Yeah.
That's,
and remembering that we are the embodiment of the seventh generation, right? We're here because seven generations ago, someone was making decisions so that we would have a space and place to inhabit on this earth. And we have the responsibility to do the same thing.
Exactly. Pini Gigi, thank you so much. And hey, thanks for co-hosting Native Roots Radio. You didn't know you were going to do that, but I appreciate you. Appreciate everything you do for the community. And, you know, let's do this again tomorrow. You're listening to Native Roots Radio. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier now.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is brought to you by, what is it brought to you by, Ogama?
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Yeah, that's a new sponsor. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And we are here with Michael Spears, actor, and he's been in many things here. And we're going to talk a little bit about his career and also this new movie, The Year of the Dog. Michael, thank you so much for coming on to Native Roots Radio.
Pilama, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to talking with you about all of the wonderful things in movies.
Right on. And, you know, we've had quite a few people, and I don't know if you know Bobby Wilson, but Bobby Wilson was a student of mine in Reservation Dogs, and we had quite a few Reservation Dog actors on the show in the last 2 years, and we're really excited to throw you in that mix as a Reservation Dog alumni. Really, I just want to touch base on that for a second. That show for me has, and I know all over Indian country because I see it on Facebook, people are really plugging in, and I love it because it's for mainstream, but it also has a lot of good things for us natives to like shake our head and go, oh yeah, yes. And so how was that experience? You played pretty heavy duty part in this.
Yeah. That experience is unique for me in that, you know, you walk on set and it's all native created, you know, all the showrunners and actors and crew and cast, everyone's native, and you know, walking onto a set like that is an experience in itself. You know, I've never had the opportunity to be on a set such as Reservation Dogs yet, and looking forward to next season. I hear we just got picked up again for another season. I want to shout out to Sterling and Bobby and thank all the boys on set. Hopefully everything's going good with everyone. And man, the show's really picked up a lot of momentum and created a lot of visibility for Indian people all across America and the world now.
Yeah. A friend of mine who works for CBS television on 48, he's a producer for 48 hours, called me late last night, and he's diving deep into the show and just couldn't believe it. And, he was excited, and he was only on season one, but you know, there's great more to come on that. Just really excited that, I don't know if it seems like since Standing Rock, a lot of good things have happened for us natives. And, you know, I know we started our show during Standing Rock and with the protesting of the pipeline and a lot of good things from authors to movies, you know, Prey and to Reservation Dogs and your upcoming movie, The Year of the Dog.
Oh, I'm very appreciative of the visibility, you know, that we've gained through the political activism stage. You know, we have a lot more stories. You know, this is just the tip of the iceberg. I want to give shout outs to all the up and coming artists and filmmakers and musicians and all the other Indigenous people that are, you know, on the come up, because we have so many more stories to tell. So each one of us has a story. Everyone has everyone's got dreams and hopes. And me as a little boy from growing up on the Lower Brule Reservation to where I am now, you know, I'm back on the reservation now. I'm a student at Sinte Gleshka University, and that's where I'm coming at you live from right now, is Mission, South Dakota.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and, you know, just balancing that and hoping for the best for all the people here. We, as a Native acting community, you know, we're pretty small, actually. You know, everybody knows everybody almost. We all try out for the same parts. I've been fortunate enough to be in the game for, I won't date myself, but quite some time, as when from Otter and Dances with Wolves most recently Sitting Bull and Runs His Horse in Yellowstone.
Is that what you're shooting now?
Yeah, I just came off a 2-part docudrama for the History Channel. I was fortunate enough to land the lead in the docudrama, a 2-part series being produced by the History Channel, highlighting Sitting Bull's life.
Wow, that's awesome. Let's talk a little bit. I have a little blurb here. You know, The Year of the Dog is about two strays, mad and alcoholic, struggling to maintain sobriety, and a rescue dog with unusual athletic gifts. Spears plays Fred, Matt's big book thumping sponsor. Hey, that stop right there. People on the radio know that I've been sober for a few years, and I love that term, big book thumper. How did you prepare for the role?
Well, you know, that role, I drew from a lot of personal experience. You know, the preparation, I guess, was being able to be in a space where I felt safe enough to let Fred out and be vulnerable as well, because, you know, he's not a perfect person either. So right. Just personal experience you know, my family members and, you know, I know a lot of us as natives have been touched by alcohol and the ism of it, you know, not only the addiction, but, you know, the things that come along with mental health awareness and illness and all of that.
Well, you know, I always say it's really, you know, whenever I see our lieutenant governor here in Minnesota, I always let her know, it's like, I really appreciate you. I used to be a high school teacher and had an all-native homeroom. And what I would always tell her is I appreciate you being lieutenant governor, because my kids are able to see someone that looks like them in this role. And I feel the same way about this, that there's many ways to recover and there's many ways to go down the red road, and to be able to have our people see somebody, you know, representing that portion of our culture, or not so much culture, but a portion of our people. You know, some people do it the red road, some go to AA, but there is recovery out there. And so it's important for, I believe, for us. And I want to say a big pini gigi to you, Michael, for playing that role.
Piyama. You know, I always, you know, tip my hat to those that are brave enough to willing to tell their stories and be honest about it. Like Rob, and you're the dog here. He puts himself out there and so it gives a pretty emotional, raw performance. And my character, you know, at the time, was going through a lot personally. You know, I just lost my both of my grandmothers and my mother shortly after this production, and some of that's going to come across on screen if you guys get a chance to watch the movie. But definitely want to give shout outs to Rob and the rest of the team on a success. You know, we're just some Montana boys and girls that got together and made a movie.
Well, your role has been convincing enough that the film's producer have recently made a nomination submission on your behalf. So that's huge. That's huge. That doesn't just happen. And I appreciate your humility. And I just kind of just keep saying that how important that is for our people to see people out there in a good way. And you're doing that, Michael. You know, with the, you know, you being a young person starting out in movies and now older, there's two rules always is you don't want to work with young people in film and you don't want to work with animals. So how was it working with the dog?
It was awesome. You know, I got to work with a few animals in some productions, but this was probably the most hands-on I've got to be with a canine. There was two puppies on this show, a stunt puppy and the actor. So it was, you know, Rob got a lot more hands-on than I did, but we had some good fun times in pulling and creating that space where we could just have fun and catch something on camera.
Hey, I'm here with Michael Spears, and we're talking about the Year of the Dog and also other movies Michael's in. Michael, do you have time for another quick segment?
I sure do.
That's awesome. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Hey, we're still here. Ogama, how the heck am I doing there? I missed you on that interview.
You know, I ran into technical trouble for this interview, so I wasn't able to join. And, you know, I'm sad I missed it, but I'm glad I'm getting to listen to it all the way through again now. And, you know, it's really amazing, these actors. You know, I think a lot of people think of people who are in Hollywood as maybe like a non-job or kind of like politicians, people who aren't like really real. And I always appreciate seeing these actors in this light.
And you said earlier, or while we were chatting during the interview, because it was pre-recorded, that he went through a lot of loss in that last movie. So you can't help, like he said, but to bring it in. Hey, we got part two coming up here with the interview here with this great interview, I should say. No, I'm just kidding. This subpar interview from me with Michael Spears, a Lakota actor. We'll be right back after this short break. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
It makes me smile and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Sync Radio, Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I lived alone and was having problems with my landlord. He's a creep. One night I'm watching TV and I hear my landlord letting himself in. Hey, get out. You can't keep coming in.
I'm just here to fix your fridge and spend some time together.
Get out. I'm reporting you.
Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair Housing. The law is on your side. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies tonight with a chance for mixed precipitation. Lows dip down to about 20. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Highs level off around 34. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 20. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 36.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. I'm here with Michael Spears, and we're talking about his acting career, but also the Year of the Dog. Michael, Pinigigi for being back on here. This is an important conversation, and one of the things I'd like to ask you about your role is how did that come about? So what, you know, you tried out for the movie, they got the part, and then how did it turn into, I don't know, putting your stamp on this character?
Well, after the, you know, the audition screen test process, I was given some character freedoms, and I developed Fred, just kind of put a little bit of myself into him. Originally, he wasn't necessarily written as being an Indigenous or Native character. And in exploring that, I went ahead and put a little of myself into the character, and we made a few character decisions in regards to who and where Fred comes from. And we turned Fred into a Lakota. And, you know, of course, in the film, he's a sponsor and also touches base on some racial stereotypes in the film in regards to what Rob's character is wearing, notably Atlanta Braves hat in a lot of the mascot issue.
Yeah. That's a very subtle an issue, been out there for a long time. I think, you know, I'm here in the Twin Cities, and I think the murder of George Floyd really pushed the Washington football team to change their name, and there's more work to be done. So bringing that in the forefront is a good thing in a good way, Michael. We really appreciate that, and that's very authentic.
Yeah, the scene, it happened pretty organically. You know, and I asked him in real time, you know, where and why are you wearing that hat? You know, and so we had some good conversations, and I was given an opportunity to write the scene and rewrite. And so him and I rewrote the scene, and you'll see it play out in the film. You know, his character eventually takes the hat off and comes to an understanding that he's bringing a racial stereotype to life.
Yeah. I think, again, the media, whether it's a movie or a TV show or a radio show, we have a lot of people out there that are allies, whether they're white allies, BIPOC allies. And it's good to bring these things up and educate. I think that's part of our job, isn't it, Michael?
Definitely. As storytellers and just human beings, you know, and keeping that integrity and the truth to who we are as a people, I think is important in the telling and retelling of our stories, you know, especially for coming from a non-native perspective or point of view. And, you know, that's where another, you know, if we're getting down to brass tacks, I'd say, you know, we're making steps towards the right direction, but we do have a long way to go. And I appreciate all the allies out there, you know, all of the support that we've had, and not only just this film, but in as a people, as a whole, as a indigenous community here, in unity being represented through media, music, radio. You know, I want to say Pilama to you for having shows and giving venues, spaces available for natives to come and have a voice and to get out there on these interwebs, these spider webs of communication.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's something that that needs to be done, and I really someday hope to hand this down to a young one. And I, by saying that too, I want to just bring this up. I'm 61 years old, and our generation is kind of lost. I mean, we became in the forefront with the American Indian movement and all these things. You know, I remember people in high school pretending they were Italian or something else before it was proud to be a native out there. And so it's exciting to see a younger person like you, and then the younger people out there in the community really stepping it up, speaking their language, doing things that we're afraid of, or we lost because of boarding school. So I want to say a big pinigigi to you.
Well, thank you for the you say AKI or the recognition. But you know, I give all the recognition to my mom and dad and grandmas and grandpas who raised me in a good way. I want to continue to support all of the indigenous artists out there. You know, I have four children as well, and I'm a student, so I'm always a proponent of higher education and learning. My mother was a survivor of residential schooling, and definitely my father, the late Patrick Spears, he was and still is my hero, as well as my mother. You know, she worked 36 years in the Indian Health Service and opened up hospitals all throughout Indian country. If it weren't for those that have given their time and effort, I wouldn't even be able to be here making movies either. So I want to say thank you to those who laid the tracks for me, that I could be in the movies. You know, I'm just a boy from the reservation too. I grew up in Lower Brule and moved off the reservation after in the fifth and sixth grade. And I grew up in Pierre, and then I moved to Aberdeen, South Dakota, and was fortunate enough to make a film or two a year. And I'm still in the learning process now, higher education, environmental sciences, and Lakota studies. I'm a big proponent of renewable, sustainable energies, and also just telling the truth, letting the little kids and all of them know that it's okay. It's cool to question your teachers, your the higher ups out there, and not be part of the status quo. You know, we have to continually work to stay woke and keep the environment and the communities around us accountable for their actions as well. You know, being Native comes with the responsibility nowadays as far as keeping the integrity and the truth alive. You know, having to wear several hats in now productions and different things is something that is we're being leaned upon more and more in the not only the acting communities but everywhere.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Good words there. And it is good to definitely recognize our elders in a good way like that. I appreciate that. And there are many people that are still doing it out there. And I think the young ones are really leading the way, but we really do and did need our teachings. So that's a great point, Michael. I'm here with Michael Spears, actor in The Year of the Dog, a movie coming out here real soon. And he's an actor. He's been doing it for, I won't say how many years because I got the calculator out and figured it out, but also was on a Reservation Dogs and played a pivotal role of, if you've been watching, the young boy that committed suicide, who played Danny's father. And we talked a little bit, and I want to talk to you about what is a good thing for our Native young ones listening to this to get into the business, and what do they need to know? And I think one of the things we talked about with our last actor friend, he talked about being on time and doing it in a good way. And there is no Indian time. We want to change that to being on time. Oh, wow.
Well, one thing that I guess I've taken away from the industry, being in it as long as I have, you know, we're getting more and more visible as far as our storytellers, our directors and producers and people that have that business mindset, because ultimately, you know, this business is a business, and, you know, it's a paradigm that I've chosen to build my career in. It definitely has its challenges and setbacks at times, but for kids nowadays to become an actor, model, agent, whoever, you know, there's every job imaginable in the movies. You know, you don't have to be an actor. You can be an engineer. You can be a photographer, you know, the business end, the line producing, the all of that. So, you know, I encourage kids to find what they love. You know, and it's not always necessarily going to be an actor or a model or on this side of the camera, but there's an aspect of storytelling that takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of bravery to whether you're going to be an actor or even just to tell your story. So I want to tell the kids to persevere and kolki peshnio, which means that you don't have no fear and move forward and write your stories down. Is we don't get a lot of chances over and over. So you get an opportunity, you get a chance to tell your story, do it, you know, with no fear. And if you want to know something, go to the source. You want to know, you know, whether it's your own stories, your own creation stories, or you're trying to marry two different tribes or whatnot, but go to the source and without fear, you know, be a leader. Make those hard choices that, you know, not everyone wants to follow down some of these harder paths. And I left the reservation and faced challenges of my own in going to a public school and having to fight and experience racism and those kind of things. And if it weren't for perseverance and finding those healthy ways to cope with anxiety and stress and pain, grief, those kind of things, and knowing who you are will help to define your path and to the future. So being Lakota, I lean on that. I lean on my religious practices, my spirituality, and it keeps me grounded. You know, for one of my biggest auditions, I sang, and wow. It wasn't any of the scripts that they asked for. And I just, I sang and I spoke my language and I received the role, and that in itself helps keep me grounded, helps keep me, Michael.
Wow. Michael, I wanted to say before I let you go, this is Michael Spears, The Year of the Dog, and you can see him on a couple episodes of Reservation Dogs and has a plethora of work. I just want to say Peeny Geegee for being on. And also, you know, I always wanted to be a key grip, just to throw that out there. Hey, so Michael, thank you so much for being on. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
One of our longtime sponsors, and they do such great work all over Turtle Island, especially now that COVID is under somewhat control. I'm going to be careful what I say because, you know, there's still a variant out there, but they are traveling more and doing their thing all over Turtle Island and giving out the good knowledge that they help with. So, Ogamont, I'll just throw this out here. I don't know if anyone wants to call. So we feel like the Maytag washroom repairman. I don't know if you knew about that, if you're old enough to remember that, but it was a commercial where, you know, the wash machines were made so well that the repairman never got a call.
Oh, so that sounds like a good commercial.
That's the reference. We're doing so good at the show, we never get a call. But if you want to call and say, who or hey, 952. Oh, the cat's not using the phone, but she's calling. 952-946-6205. Just give us a call and say hi out there. Do you have any leftover news or anything you want to repeat that we were just talking about?
I actually have something else, you know, since we're talking about, you know, movies and actors and all that kind of thing. There is a new series coming out on ABC that I just found out about. It's called Alaska Daily.
Yeah.
It's got Hilary Swank in it, and it's going to be covering missing and murdered Indigenous women in Alaska. So maybe you heard about that already, but that was news to me today, and I am pretty stoked about that.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I thought I saw a glimpse, and I can't remember her name, but she was in Smoke Signals, and she played Pocahontas, the Disney voice of Pocahontas. Irene, who played in I saw a glimpse of her, and she was in it too.
Oh, okay. Not yeah. Sure. I'm just cruising through. I'm looking for it on like IMDb and that kind of thing right now. I just happened to catch the headline as I was cruising through stuff today. So I haven't had a lot of time to look through it, but I'm glad to see the topic. So it's reading Grace Dove. Is that who maybe you're thinking
no,
of?
No, but let me just say too, why you brought that up. I hope, you know, and as Native Americans, we always hope if we're being represented well, or sometimes these actors in these plays or movies, we end up with a savior role. And, you know, like I was joking earlier about Dancing with the Wolves, which to me is a great movie. Don't get me wrong. It's won all the Academy Awards. It was 3 hours movie, but a lot of my relatives called it Dancing with Kevin Costner, and the reason why is the savior role. You know, he was saving the Native Americans that had been on this continent for tens of thousands of years. So hopefully this two-time Academy Award winner will do it in a good way, Hilary Swank.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I was a big fan of her and her role. I think it was called Iron-Jawed Angels. It's back from 2004, and I believe she was the lead character there. And it was about the lives of Alice Paul and Lucy Burns, who were really instrumental in getting women the right to vote in the United States.
Oh, wow.
And she played, I can't remember if she played Alice or Lucy, but she played she went on hunger strike after she was imprisoned for speaking out about women being able to vote, and that was a pretty intense role. So I'm a bit of a Hillary Swank fan after seeing that one. I'm going to have to probably maybe go back and rewatch that one. But you're right. I mean, I was excited about this show and excited about this topic, this Alaska Daily. But, you know, I don't see a lot of Indigenous faces, Indigenous names coming up on this, about the show. And it's pretty easy to step into that, that trope of being the savior or the person who comes and
good makes word, a savior, but good word. Trope.
Yeah. Trope. Yeah. Well, and they exist all over the place. And like, me and my husband actually talk about this quite a bit. You know, he's a big movie buff. He loves to watch movies. He loves to watch films, television, YouTube, all of that just fascinates him. And we both have run into, just in really unexpected places, instances of inappropriation or of appropriation in movies. Like he likes horror films, so we went to a horror movie a while back, and in the middle of the film, a guy gives the main character ayahuasca, which is a drug used by Native American people in a very sacred way. But a lot of people will go and use ayahuasca or peyote to kind of have, those trips, or to open their mind, or, you know, treat it the same way like LSD, that kind of thing. So this non-Native character gives this other non-Native character ayahuasca in the middle of the movie, and it's a horror film, and it's supposed to help him release the spirit of the person that's haunting him, because he's supposed to be able to use it to get into another realm. And it was like, what? Like, that's not what that is. Like, and that's sacred to people. Like, you can't just throw that in the middle of a movie. And I mean, it was just so bizarre for us. We kind of left going, did they really do that? And it happens all the time, right, Robert?
Oh my goodness, yes. I can't think of a example off the top of my head, but I mean, you know, I grew up, I'm 61, and I grew up with a lot of, well, one of the most racist shows I ever watched was F Troop. And I don't know if you've ever seen that TV show, but that was on, for a good 5 years in the 60s. And, if you know, I probably am speaking to people that have never seen it before, but that is one of the most racist shows now, watching it now. Native Americans are dumb and they're outside this fort called I can't remember what the name of the fort is, but they were first of all, they weren't Native. None of them were Native American. that's for sure. And so they were the bumbling kind of con artists, snake oil. It's just hard to watch now with all this knowledge of appropriation and what it does to our people. And we talk a lot about the residential schools, but I think white people have gone through residential schools through the media, whether it's movies and
they've been indoctrinated into those beliefs for sure. You know, I think probably a good example of like a racist film for like my generation is probably Team America. That one was pretty awful. And I remember it came out in 2004, and I was in high school at the time. And I remember not really wanting to stomach any of it. My friends all thought it was really cool and it was really funny. And I didn't really like it at all. And it wasn't until I was older that I'm like, oh, I didn't like it because it was just blatantly racist. Like, and it's one of those things that people still, you know, they still quote, they still talk about. And when we have those kind of movies that just permeate into our culture, and they're, you know, displaying these really negative stereotypes, they're overtly or blatantly racist. I mean, those things do have an effect on how people operate and how they treat those people when they meet them in real life.
Well, Lou Diamond Phillips has played a lot of Native Americans over his career, and he's Asian. Johnny Depp played Tonto, which was a groundbreaking part I can't remember his name right now, but Silver, the Silverheels or what was his name, but he played Tonto in the original Lone Ranger, and to see Johnny Depp do it, and it's just like an irritant. It's almost like, you know, you start thinking about it, and you start thinking about the Atlanta Braves, and you start thinking about, you know, the Blackhawks, and people want to say, oh, well, we're honoring you.
Mm-hmm. Somebody just posted, and I seen it come through social media. It says, welcome to WTF season for Native people. It goes Halloween, Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day, and then Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Tate.
And we have all three of those that happen in the span of 2 months. And those are the three big holidays every year where we're all, as Native people, collectively going, we've talked about this, you know?
Well, you know, Ogama, thanks again. And it was great having Michael Spears on. We're going to have him on again. He was really happy. He listens to the show, too. So that was really cool to hear. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground, is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, or run for office, or do all of them. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier now. Free Leonard Peltier now.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, we're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere, so the police should be reaching out to this community, and this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break?
Because she may not be having lunch again until September.
Or a single father of two who works
three part-time jobs and still can't put enough food on the table.
Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family.
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet.
I am the one in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org.
brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Pennsylvania man bound for Florida arrested.
They say he tried to bring explosives onto the flight.
Closing arguments underway.